Today is January 5th. We will be reading Matthew 5, verses 1 through 26. Before we begin, let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we read your word and as we look at what Jesus teaches, that, Lord, you would teach us, open our hearts to see ways that we can obey, ways that we can follow you. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 26. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders shall be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is accountable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. All right. Today, we began Matthew chapter 5, and this is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it is where Jesus has gone up on the mountain. Many people have come to him. They are following him. He is healing people, as we saw at the end of chapter 4. And now he is teaching. And his teaching goes against, in many ways, what they have always heard. It is different from what they have heard. Rather than hearing a list of rules, he goes deeper. He explains them. And you'll notice throughout this that for Jesus, the change that he most wants is a change of the heart. It's not just our outside actions, but our inside heart, our attitude, what we think, what we feel, how we react to things. And so Jesus is teaching that simply following rules of a religion is not enough, that there needs to be a complete transformation of our heart. Later on in the New Testament, we learn that this is not really even possible by ourselves. It is only possible through the renewing of our heart through Jesus. It is only possible when the Spirit comes in and creates in us a new heart that is capable of doing all these things that Jesus teaches. But let's look at what these are. At the beginning of the chapter, he talks about what are known as the Beatitudes. It's a list of statements where he talks about blessed or blessed are these different people. And they are not necessarily the things or the people that you would normally think about as being fortunate or being lucky. You have the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, or the humble. You have those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted because of righteousness. If you look at today's world, you see the complete opposite. Those who are considered to be successful and lucky are the ones who have power, who have fame, who have fortune, the ones who are often very cruel to others in order to get their success, the ones who are often selfish, the ones who do anything that they have to in order to succeed. But Jesus sees success as very different from this world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who realize that they cannot do it on their own, they desperately need God. When we come to the point that we realize that our spirits aren't strong enough, that we cannot buy our way into heaven by good deeds, we are poor in spirit, we are broken. And that is when God blesses us. Blessed are those who mourn. It's not necessarily those who are always miserable, but when our heart is broken over our sin, over our lives, God can come and put those broken pieces back together and heal us and comfort us. Blessed are the meek. The meek are those who are humble. They aren't proud. They aren't arrogant. They aren't the ones who are trying to control everything. They're quiet. They're humble. They realize who they are. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do we hunger for God? Just like when we haven't eaten for a while, our stomachs crave food. Does our soul crave righteousness? Does our soul thirst for God? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Are we kind? Are we merciful? Are we forgiving and compassionate? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In today's world, this is very difficult. It is very easy to be corrupted by desires for money, desires for wealth, desires for power, or other physical desires, desires for sex, desires for other physical pleasures. But God wants us to be pure in our hearts, not pulled away from God by all these other things in the world, but instead pure and holy and righteous. And those are the ones who will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who are gentle and aren't always causing division and strife, but bring people together. For they will be called the children of God. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. There we see because of righteousness and because of me. When we are doing what is right and others persecute us because of it, God blesses us. It doesn't necessarily say that we're going to have an easy life. In fact, there are parts of the New Testament in Jesus' teaching that say that we're going to have problems, that if we are truly following God, we are going to encounter difficulties, and that we should expect it. But along with those difficulties comes the blessing of God, comes the peace of God, comes the strength, the joy, the happiness, the contentment, knowing that God is in control and that though things are difficult here on this earth, we have so much more to look forward to after this life. Next, he talks about being salt and light. When we become followers of Christ, God wants us to be different in our world. He wants us to be light. All around us is darkness. Yet our lives are supposed to be a light in the darkness. And when you have that light of Christ, God doesn't want us to hide it. God doesn't want us to pretend like nothing has ever happened to us. He doesn't want us to pretend like we aren't Christians or followers of Jesus. Instead, that light should shine, that others can see something different in us and see that it is the thing that Jesus has done in our lives. It is the change that he has made in us. Finally, Jesus talks about fulfilling the law. That Jesus didn't come to replace the law or the Old Testament as God had told them to do certain things. He didn't come to replace all that had come before him. Instead, Jesus came to fulfill it, to bring all that God had taught throughout the entire Old Testament before Jesus and bring it all together in one person, to actually accomplish all the things that God had commanded. Jesus is the only person who has ever successfully lived according to God's commands and never did one thing wrong. Jesus truly fulfilled God's law. And he also is the fulfillment of it. That long before Jesus, God set in place many things that were a picture of Jesus, of who Jesus would be and of what he would do. We'll learn a lot more about that much later in the New Testament, as we get to the parts of the letters that teach more about Jesus and who he was and what he did. But here, he talks about he didn't come to replace it, but to fulfill it, and in many ways to go deeper. When he talks about murder, this is just one example. He's going to get to a few more. This is the first half of chapter 5. He gets to a few more in the next half, which we'll look at tomorrow. But he talks about murder. He goes beyond simply the physical action of murder to our heart attitude, that we are also guilty, not just if we actually go through with our anger and kill someone, but God finds our heart attitude of anger and hatred as to be worthy of guilt as well. That if my heart is so angry and so full of hate, that God sees that as a sin and a problem, and it separates me from God. And so Jesus is calling us to a completely different attitude and heart. And that's what he wants to give us. He wants to transform our hearts, to change them completely so that they reflect him. Today I pray that you would think about these things and ask God to help you have a change of heart. Ask God to help you be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we think about all these things today, Lord, give us your heart. Give us your spirit. Help us see how our attitude should change from those who are around us, and not be like everyone else in this world, but to be completely different. Give us the heart, mind, and attitude of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray all this in your name. Amen.